Global futures, I mean, that issue has always fascinated me. What are some of the things you do?
Well, we often construct what are called future maps, and I want to point out this is an organization founded by Dr. James Canton, who really is kind of one of the real pioneers in this general concept. And in fact, it was at the institute that we formulated some of the original position papers, which helped to formulate the policy for the National Nanotechnology Initiative. So in a sense, we had the opportunity, amongst some other groups, to use this kind of a technique to, in a sense, establish the policy that's, in fact, putting some of these sciences into the field now. But the basic concept is this. We look at a very broad spectrum of market forces, economic trends, sociopolitical and cultural influences. We measure also unforeseeable things like terrorism and, you know, dramatic weather changes. I mean, it's actually a very broad spectrum of different variables. And we assign probability factors or percentage of influence numerics to these different variables.
Now, how do you get the probability factor?
That would be a bit of a lecture, but I'll sort of try to summarize if I can. It takes a lot of background. You have to really look at each particular cultural sector or each, you know, sort of like by continent, by section within the continent, that sort of thing. It takes a lot of background in as much of the politics, actually, as it does in the actual sort of physics, if you will, of the circumstance in question. And, of course, we have to look at currency systems because currency is the sort of lifeblood, if I can use that term, that keeps the organism of these various countries functioning and, this, and in fact, establishes the sort of market health of these different conglomerates of countries and their associates, their trading partners. And the thing that's so interesting is that in recent times, the pace or rate of change and the scale of change, again, these are all accelerating vectors. If you go backwards in time and look at more traditional socioeconomic models and sort of the pace of influence and how different market transitions would change the implementation of technology, you know, all those kind of things. You can measure those things in terms of years, decades, and that kind of thing. Now, because of the Internet, because of this global virtual economic system, I actually wrote a series of papers and I talked about something called VCA, or virtual commodity assets. We look at a realm now where the epicenter of value is not based on hard currency or hard assets of any kind. It's based really on the implied potential value of something that's entirely virtual. Just to step back a little bit, I believe the number is something like around 94-95% of the world's currencies are in fact electronic. They're not in any kind of physical form at all. And if you look at the actual trading indices and the different sort of processes that determine market dynamics, and all the different components of what's commonly called the value chain, where you supply different kinds of commodities that make different industries possible, these things are all happening in real time. I mean, minute by minute, second by second. This is completely different than what it was, say, 25 or 30 years ago.
Oh, dramatically different.
Dramatically different. And then you throw into the mix an entirely different brew of countries, nation states, even sub, you know, sort of like the whole definition of sovereignty is very much changing, as I'm sure you've talked about in your show in the past. So again, that completely changes the nature as to how these kinds of system dynamics can be measured. So it makes the business of futurism quite a bit different than what it might have been, you know, 25 or 30 years ago, but that is exactly what we're hoping to do. And in fact, we often use a lot of computer modeling and so forth to kind of come up with different sort of alternative variable sets, and then out of that we try to pick the best choice, as it were, and make a sort of a template out of that.
Who uses the information, Charles?
Everybody. We have corporate clients, we have government agencies, some of which I'm probably not supposed to name.
Well, I understand.
And we have a lot of NGOs, non-government organizations, often from abroad, and they will come to us and say, we have a situation, or we have a reason to plot out a future map based on these criteria. You know, can you do this? And we'll charge them some money, and for a certain amount of time, we'll release a report or kind of, you know, provide a series of data points that they can work with in that context.
How accurate are these models?
Well, in a perfect world, they can be pretty accurate. However, when you throw in elements like terrorism or sudden economic influences caused by an unforeseen disaster, like Katrina is a good example, you know, things of that nature, it makes it for a much more dynamic and, you know, people talk about chaos theory and that kind of thing. And we actually apply a bit of chaos theory because we are looking at a chaotic system.